Haynes gill netters say the fishing season has been undermined by low prices, small fish, and average return numbers. And the Haynesboro Assembly nearly passes a controversial minor offenses ordinance. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. Commercial fishermen in the Upper Lynn Canal are switching gears and getting ready for the fall coho and chum salmon runs. With average numbers, smaller fish, and lower prices so far this summer, the fleet is hoping for a strong finish to their season. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
It's Sunday morning at the Haynes Harbor, and a few boats from the local fleet are getting ready to take off for another opener. So far this season has produced average numbers of sockeye and chum, and lower prices has meant a lackluster payday for many.
It's a tough thing to swallow looking at an average year after three or four just crazy years, but having below average prices on top of that it's a double whammy for a lot of us.
That's John Hagen, who is captain of the Christa C. He grew up here and has been fishing on and off since he was a boy. He says the early strong pink salmon run was impressive, though that less desirable fish doesn't exactly bring home the bacon. He's hoping that strong coho and chum runs in the final month of the season will prove more lucrative. Randy Bachman is the area commercial fisheries biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He says that overall it's been an interesting year, starting with that banner pink run in the first weeks of the commercial season. The pinks came through the fish wheel on the Chilkat in the highest numbers since 1996. During the third week of the season, back in July, a record 215 boats were close by fishing on hatchery chum. Usually there are about 50 boats in the local fleet. As for Chinook or King Salmon, early indications show a robust Chinook return up the Chilkat, which was one of the department's main goals this year. Bachman says heading into the season, an above-average return of sockeye was expected, but it's turned out to be about average.
Again, our focus early this season was to protect king salmon, so we did not have a lot of opportunity to capitalize on strong sockeye abundance, particularly on the Chilkoot side early in the season. But once we were able to bring the fleet further north into Chilkoot and Chilkat inlets, we had some decent sockeye catches in those weeks.
Escapement on the Chilkoot was at about 68,000 sockeye last week, while on the Chilkat side it was at about 55,000, with a projection of around 100,000 on that side by the end of the season. The fall chum run is also looking to be a little above average based on comparisons from historical data to what biologists are seeing in the fish wheel. Bachman says the fall coho run is off to a slow start. Bachman says that prices across the board for all species were low this season, and the contributing factors are many. He admits he's no expert on the economics of it all, but one common theory is that the salmon market was flooded last year after a banner sockeye run in Bristol Bay and another late flurry this summer. Ramped up fish farms are another contributing factor to the dramatic drop in price, he says.
Although there were a lot of fish caught this year, the value of the fishery was probably less than half of what it was last year, or about half of what it was last year, just because the value of the fish is about, you know, maybe a little better than half when you sum all five species together compared to what it has been in recent years.
Ryan Cook is the president of the Lynn Canal Gill Netters Association and has captained his own boat for nearly a decade. He says the most notable factor this season was the size of the fish.
The fish had just been small all year for everything. I think that's what hurt us the most, really. The numbers are big, but when it takes a couple hundred of them to fill up the bag and you only get 1,000 pounds out of it, you know, it's like, geez, that was a lot of work for that. And then you figure out the price, and it's like with the little bit of a price drop and the smaller fish and everything else, it all adds up.
He says smaller fish go right through the nets, and when they do land those little ones, it's the same amount of work for less money per pound. As of last week, fishermen were getting paid just over $1 per pound for sockeye, which Cook says is about 55 cents less than last year. The price per pound for coho went up last week to 80 cents, while chum garner around 55 cents per pound. In Haynes, I'm Jillian Rogers.
A proposed minor offenses ordinance, which consists of about 200 violations that are already part of borough code, was back up for debate at this week's Haynesboro Assembly meeting. And there was plenty of public comment in opposition of the now highly contentious proposal. But it wasn't until most of those who spoke out left assembly chambers that discussion took an unexpected twist. KHNS's Jillian Rogers reports.
After the public comment period and some discussion, the Assembly on Tuesday passed a motion to hold a third public hearing on November 10th and go from there. The motion passed 4-2 with Diana Lapham and Joanne Waterman opposed. And so the group moved on and most of the crowd left. That's when Assembly member Ron Jackson raised his hand and asked to change his vote, deciding instead that delaying the process wasn't necessary.
The reason that I changed my mind is I think once a minority ordinance is out there, it's going to be more visible. People can focus on it and actually bring up more ideas that are about what's wrong with it, maybe, or the whole fee schedule, too much, too little. The discussion will shift, I think, a lot to fixing things instead of objecting to things.
And so, after more discussion, the vote to hold a third public meeting came down to a 3-3 tie. Mayor Jan Hill broke the tie by voting against another public hearing. Lapham was in favor of moving forward with the vote to adopt the ordinance. She said that the fact that people chose to leave after they had said their piece shouldn't influence the Assembly's decision-making process.
We've had people that do public comment, and after they're done with public comment, get up and leave. They don't hear any kind of rebuttal or any explanations that might be able to explain what it is they have a question about. We're not going to win no matter what we do on this issue.
Waterman then made a motion to adopt the ordinance. Then Campbell made an amendment to postpone that vote to adopt the ordinance until the next assembly meeting on September 22nd. Confused yet? Stay with me. Both Campbell and Dave Barry warned the others that if the ordinance were to pass, after everyone who cared enough to speak out was gone, it would look bad for the borough. Here's Campbell.
And I'm sorry, this is about the biggest slap in our community's face that I can imagine doing would be passing this right now.
Barry agreed.
The perception is going to be that we waited till everybody was gone to change the outcome. That leaves heartburn, and we cannot do that to the residents of this community.
The motion to postpone the vote on the ordinance came down to another tie. Mayor Hill voted it down, and then the vote on whether or not to adopt the long list of violations was back up for a final decision. That's when Waterman changed her mind. She asked that the Assembly reconsider her vote to nix the idea of waiting until the next meeting. That one passed unanimously. And so, after all that back and forth, the minor offenses ordinance will be up for adoption in 2 weeks, although no public hearing will be included. The ordinance was divided up last month, with sections going to 4 committees for review and recommendations for revision. But as of Tuesday, Borough Clerk Julie Causey said that the borough hasn't received any of those recommendations. At the meeting, members of the public raised more questions about the proposed ordinance. Heather Lendy mentioned that if the minor offenses ordinance is enforced, common occurrences could result in citations.
And you can say, well, we're not going to enforce these, and they're already on the books. But what concerns me about that is then the enforcement's going to be completely arbitrary. And when we don't like someone, they're going to get a ticket for walking across the middle of Main Street from Hauser's to the parking lot there instead of crossing at the crosswalk. Are we going to ticket all the tourists, stand down at the dock and make a bunch of money? I doubt it.
Roger Schnabel called the borough's method aggressive and said that the ordinance itself was harsh.
You're guilty before you're proven innocent to a certain extent.
Borough manager Dave Sosa said the goal of the ordinance is compliance and not necessarily writing tickets and collecting fines. The minor offenses ordinance is up for adoption on September 22nd. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
The Leconte State Ferry recently rescued 6 men that were stranded in the water. Last Thursday afternoon, the Leconte was returning from Gustavus to Juneau. Department of Transportation spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says the ferry was coming around Point Coverdon near Rocky Island.
One of the crew in the bridge of the ferry noticed there was a skiff that was overturned and individuals that needed rescuing. They deployed one of their lifeboats and were able to rescue the individuals that were in the water.
Woodrow says the rescue slowed the ferry down but didn't put passengers too far off anticipated arrival time. Last year, the Alaska ferry Testamina helped tow a fishing vessel to safety. On another occasion, the Malaspina rescued a Canadian fisherman who was on board a sunken vessel. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.